You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7. ESPN.
Welcome in. That music only means one thing. Joe Wiz, he normally joins us on Saturday, but was off yesterday. Spent some time with the fam, which was really, really nice. Low-key, relaxing day. Watched some basketball, played some backgammon. You know, all the things you do when you're hanging out with a family on a rainy Saturday afternoon. But nonetheless, Joe Wiz joins us now here on 98.7 ESPN. He has his own gambling show each and every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. Make sure you tune in. Joe, how you doing? How's your bracket? Well, first of all, news to me, not everybody has a bracket. How's your bracket looking?
Well, that's the good thing you put. I help people out recreationally with the brackets. But to me, I don't put much emphasis into the brackets, Anita. I take one day at a time. And I know you said you were with your family yesterday hanging out, but I'm sure you had some prop bets that you were betting. I'm sure you had some action going on. There's no way you were sitting there doing nothing on a Saturday.
I'm not really big into prop bets when it comes to college sports. I'll gotcha. Dabble every now and then. But, I will share this with you. So I have an experiment. I'm doing an experiment. I'm curious to get your thoughts on this. Okay. What I'm doing is I'm taking $10 and I'm putting $10 on every dog money line throughout the tournament. So in round one, there were 31 games. So that's a $310 investment. Okay. I ended round one with $305. So I enter round two minus, I'm down $5 of my investment money. Okay. Understand?
Yes.
Okay. So now we go into round two, 16 games, $100 per dog money line. So that's $160 investment. And yesterday, not one dog won outright. Not one, Joe. So now I'm sitting here. I've got Colorado at plus 140, Utah State at plus 450, which I'm banking on. James Madison at plus 240, which I'm banking on. I think both those teams can pull an upset. Clemson at plus 160, Grand Canyon at plus 220, Northwestern at 9-1, A&M at plus 380, and Yale at plus 190, which I find very interesting that Yale's only at plus 190, but nonetheless. So this has not been a tournament for the dogs, to say the least, to win outright. So my experiment is hanging on by a thread, Joe. It's hanging on by a thread.
Yeah, well, today could be a bit challenging for the dogs to win outright. But, you know, there was some live dogs yesterday. I had Texas big on the plus the 7. But I understand what you're saying, just expecting the dogs to pull off the upsets, you know. But all you need is one big dog to come in like Oakland did when they upset Kentucky. And like I said, there are opportunities out there. And that's what the unique thing about March Madness is. There's always upsets happening. And, you know, normally when there's an all-chalk day, yes, there's all the favorites won, but some of them didn't cover, obviously. But in that scenario, usually the next day, there are some upsets, and we've seen numerous upsets in the tournament here, and I wouldn't be surprised if we see a few today. But I do know that the dogs will be barking, Anita, and that's what I'm more interested in as well.
Right. Let's get this out of... So my favorite play today is James Madison. Love James Madison. Give me the 7.5. I'm also going to play them on the money line, like I said, at plus 240. What's your favorite play today in the March Madness slate?
Yeah, well, getting to that game, Anita, with the James Madison game, the line right now, that game goes at 5:15. Duke is favored by 7.5, and they were just hanging on by the threads against Vermont the other night. So here they're 7.5, and nobody's really talking about James Madison. They've won 14 in a row, and you might be onto something here. The 20-14 against the spread, Duke likes to slow it down. James Madison getting 14.5. I like them getting the 7.5. I bought them up to 8, but that line on on the money line, you're getting plus 240. It wouldn't completely shock me if James Madison pulled off the upset against Duke. To answer your question, one of the games that I like in the tournament is actually a total. Totals, sometimes if you don't like the sides, you take the totals. A game that goes at 240 today, Utah State is playing Purdue. And Purdue come in here with a record of 30-4. But Purdue likes to go over. 63% of their games have gone over for the season. 21 overs, just 12 unders. Even though the last game went under against Grambling State, that was expected. They were 27-point favorite there. Grambling State wasn't going there. Now they're playing a good Utah State team. Utah State coming off a big win against TCU, 88-72. And Utah State could score. I think both of these teams are going to go up and down the court. So it doesn't necessarily have to be a game. It could be a total. The totals game is at 149. Hey, just put the play in the over and root for both teams to score. And everybody loves playing overs, even though I like more unders. But in this game here, I do like the over. 149 is one of my top picks for today between the Aggies and the Boilermakers. They're going to go up and down the court.
Grand Canyon getting 5.5 against Alabama, and Yale getting 5.5 against San Diego State. Feeling any of these Cinderella stories to continue?
Yeah, when you take a look at the San Diego State Aztecs, they play, they're just 13-20 against the spread. So if you're looking for a value bet, you take a look at the Yale Bulldogs. Yale is 17-11 against the spread here. San Diego State likes to slow it down. Yale likes to go up and down the court. And last Sunday, Yale just barely got by Brown on the buzzer beater to win the Ivy League last Sunday, and then they beat Auburn. But I think they could hang around with San Diego State only because of the style of play with the Aztecs, because the Aztecs like to slow it down, and Yale likes to move the tempo up. So if Yale can get hot, I think that one might be a better play than the Grand Canyon play. Yale would be getting 5.5. I would take them to plus 6. That game goes tonight at 9:40. So hopefully people are alive working and making some money there. And the game that's interesting locally, Anita, is the Northwestern UConn game. Northwestern's getting 13.5 against UConn, and I had picked UConn to win the national championship, but I guess everybody in America did before the tournament started here. But this line's rather high. I think that UConn advances, but getting to almost two touchdowns on a Super Sunday, Northwestern plus 14 might be worth some consideration.
No denying that. You've got, not a lot of people are paying attention to the NIT, but you are. You actually have a play in the NIT tournament for today, right?
Yeah, the NIT, as I mentioned, there are 8 of the games that teams that are playing in the major tournament here, but there's 17 total college basketball games going on today. And an interesting game here goes at 2 p.m., the NIT. These two teams, Indiana State was certainly on the bubble. Some people feel they were the biggest team that was snubbed. I felt it was St. John's, but that's a story for another day. But you have the Minnesota Golden Gophers taking on Indiana State. Indiana State is 29-6, and they just kept winning all season long here. But they're playing Minnesota Golden Gophers, who are 19-14. The strength of schedule, the conference strength with Minnesota coming out of the Big Ten. Minnesota had one of the best spread records in all of college basketball. They're 23-9 against the spread. That's 71%, Anita. So I'm going to take a look at Minnesota to get the cover. They're getting 7.5. And, always tell people, don't get burnt by the hook. So we're buying it up to 8 for maximum protection. Minnesota Golden Gophers plus 8 to hang with the Sycamores of Indiana State. Wouldn't shock me if they pulled off the upset on the money line, plus 255, a small side bet. But the main play would be plus 8 on Minnesota.
Again, Joe Wiz joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. He has his own gambling show right here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. Make sure you tune in. Some NBA, some great games later on tonight. Thunder going up against the Bucks, Warriors against the T-Wolves, Pacers against the Lakers. How about this Thunder's-Bucks game? Milwaukee at home, favored by 3.5. The over is 231.5. In any games tonight in the NBA or today that you're feeling that you really like, Joe?
Yeah, when you look at this Oklahoma City team, nobody's really talking about them. Everyone, I still think Denver's the best team out west, but how could you ignore Oklahoma City? They're just not getting any respect at 49-20, Anita, and they also have a very impressive spread record at 41-28. Milwaukee Bucks, we just don't know what we're getting from them. I still not sold on them at the beginning of the season before, all of the changes and Doc Rivers coming in. Milwaukee, they're 45-25, but they're just 31-39 against the spread, so they really can't be trusted against the spread here. Oak City might actually be a better team, and they're getting 3 points here. So I like Oak City plus the three, and a small play on the money line of plus 128 to knock off the Bucks tonight at 7 p.m. So that's one of my plays. There's six NBA games going on today, and that's the one I like the most out of the card today.
In regard to Major League Baseball, opening day, of course, the season already started in Seoul, but nonetheless, we've got a big week ahead of us. Some prop bets, futures bets, I should say, that I'm already on. The Tampa Bay Rays win total over. Also, I'm all over the Pittsburgh Pirates as well. I've got their win total over, and I've got them winning the Central. I've got both Aaron Judge and Juan Soto both hitting over 39.5 home runs, or is it 36.5 home runs. Give me your number one futures bet heading into the Major League Baseball season, Joe.
I'm picking the World Series, Atlanta Braves and Baltimore Orioles to be playing in the Fall Classic. That's my future bet. Atlanta Braves and Baltimore Orioles. Atlanta Braves, again, they're going to be with all the distractions the Dodgers already have. The Braves were cut short last year, and I felt they were the best team, but they just didn't get there. And Baltimore Orioles are young, and I think that they're going to, you know, right now the AL East is wide open. I think Baltimore is better than the Yankees are for sure. So I'm picking the World Series with it. Atlanta Braves taking on the Baltimore Orioles in the Fall Classic. And I'm really pumped up for baseball. You know, and what's interesting, you talked about some of the money lines that you had made yesterday with the dogs in college basketball. But same thing yesterday, this past week with the start of the baseball season. We had the Padres, and they were playing the Dodgers on Wednesday and Thursday over in Seoul, Korea. But if you had played the Padres both games, okay, even though your record would be 1-1, you would show a good ROI. And that's, you know, for instance, because the Padres were plus 180 in both games. So if you bet 100 on the Padres on Wednesday, and then you bet 100 on the Padres on Thursday, even though your record's 1-1, you'd still show a plus $80 profit. And I think a lot of the people listening out there, with baseball especially, you can still go 50% in baseball, and if you have a live dog, you can make some good money.
I hear you. I hear you, Joe. Always great having you on, my friend. Enjoy Sunday Fun Day. Hope all your March Madness wagers come through for you, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
This is going to be something that's going to play out over a long time. This is not a one-day story. This is not a one-week story. This is not a one-month story. This is probably not a one-year story. This is going to be something that sticks around for a while now because we have multiple investigations going on at the same time. You've got the federal investigation that's looking into this illegal bookmaker that goes back for a while. You're going to have, potentially, if charges are pressed, an investigation into Ipe Mitsuhara's conduct. On top of that, you're going to have an MLB investigation as well. And so there are going to be a lot of people looking into this.
That's Jeff Passan on the McAfee show. Again, I don't want to get into speculation. This is just the tip of the iceberg. But I think it's important that we kind of share the timeline and all that has happened here, right? So because the story keeps on changing. So right now the story is Ohtani, who I think we can all, can we agree, Joe, that in Harvey, he's the face of Major League Baseball, right? $700 million. He's a present day Babe Ruth, let's be honest. right?
I'd go Judge over him, but you can argue with Shohei. That's fine.
Okay. All right. I think that could be a fair argument. But one of the biggest stars in Major League Baseball. Okay. So this is a very sensitive situation for Major League Baseball, especially to allow them to police themselves. Because obviously there's a conflict of interest here, right? You're not talking about, you know, a player who doesn't, you know, move the needle. You're talking about one of their biggest players who moves the needle a lot, right? So, and the story keeps on changing. But when I first, and tell me if you disagree or if you had a different experience here, and Joe and Harvey, please, I'd love for you to chime in. The first I heard was Ohtani's interpreter, Mizuhara, hope I'm pronouncing that properly, stole from him. That was the first thing. So he's been fired by the Dodgers organization because he stole money from Ohtani. Okay. Wow. You know, caught me by surprise, right? Like if that would have been part of our click or don't click, I would say, oh, click that. That's interesting. Okay. His interpreter stole money from him. They found out the Dodgers fired him and that was it. And that's the first thing we heard, right? Agree?
Essentially, what was it called? Like massive theft?
Massive theft. Exactly. Massive theft. Since then, what has developed? So, and now we're talking about a total of $4.5 million. So, and where this all went wrong is his interpreter, Mizuhara, getting an interview, a 90-minute interview with ESPN. And where I mean wrong for them. Kudos for us and ESPN, right? But in this interview with the interpreter, he lays out and admits in this interview that he's got a gambling problem, and he was embarrassed, but he went to Ohtani, and Ohtani is allegedly this illegal bookie out on the West Coast. There's wire transfers of $1 million to this bookie. Like several. Okay. So, and apparently the translator was on the hook for about $4.5 million. Keep in mind when he was in Anaheim with the Angels, his salary was $85,000. His salary, from what I understand now, is about $500,000. I don't know. Like, listen, I've been gambling for a long time. Full disclosure, I've used bookies. I think I've shared my story before. My grandfather used to wager. I used to call in his wagers with his bookie when I was 10 years old. That's how I'm so comfortable with gambling. I don't know a bookie who's going to give an individual that type of leeway of $1 million, $2 million, let alone $4.5 million if their salary is $85,000. So first things, that's a huge red flag right there, knowing how bookies work. Okay? So there's that. So Ohtani's interpreter does this interview with ESPN, comes clean, allegedly, admits that he's got a gambling problem, went to Ohtani. Ohtani helped him get out of it, paid the wire transfers to the bookie, paid the debt, is really embarrassed. And then all of a sudden, that's when the news breaks that it was major theft. And the translator was fired after he gave this interview to ESPN. Then he walked it all back and now has denied the story and has denied that Ohtani knew that these wire transfers were to a bookie. And now has told ESPN that he has been told to not talk. And when asked, who's telling you that? No response. So it's just, the story is, here's another thing. So now the interpreter is saying that Ohtani did not know that it was a bookie. Ohtani did not know. So you're telling me that you're just going to wire transfer $4.5 million to somebody and you're not going to ask who that's going to? That's another. Are you serious? I don't care. You could be making $700. You could be making $1 billion. If your best friend comes to you and says, "Hey, listen, I'm in trouble here. I need you to wire $1 million to this individual." You're not going to ask, "Who is this? What's going on? Talk to me. How can I help you? What have you gotten yourself into? Who am I wiring this to?" You want me to believe that Ohtani sat in front of his computer with you and did not ask you or did not know exactly who he was wiring $4.5 million to? Sorry, not sorry. I don't believe that. So really where this all went wrong is whoever allowed this interpreter to sit down and get this 90-minute interview with ESPN, you know, like releasing it all out and then now walking it back, now being told he can't talk, the Dodgers firing him for theft. There was no theft communicated in the ESPN interview, but now walking it back. It's a mess. It's a mess. It's a mess for Ohtani. It's a mess for Major League Baseball. Where there's smoke, there's fire. And at the end of the day, you know, I don't know if we will ever get the truth, because again, this is Major League Baseball now, you know, policing themselves, and obviously they don't want to harm their brand that doesn't have a lot of weight right now as it is. Let's be honest, out of the four major sports, you know, football obviously is king, NBA, and then, you know, you can argue Major League Baseball and hockey. So, you know, Major League Baseball, they're trying to improve their brand. They're trying to improve their viewership. Ohtani is a big part of that. You're going to take this guy down? This is a mess. This is a complete mess. This is only the beginning. I don't know if we'll get the full truth, but there are several investigations happening here. Our government is investigating this. Major League Baseball is investigating this. But again, I just, it's just what's alarming is the timeline. And what's really alarming is who allowed this interpreter to sit down with ESPN for 90 and you allow him to sit down and, you know, vent and tell his story with ESPN without giving him some guidance in what to say and what not to say? Who allowed that? That's really where this whole thing went wrong. And I will end this. For us to sit here and think that every professional athlete doesn't gamble, we would be misled and we would be naive. Okay? Professional athletes are told not to gamble. You're not supposed to gamble, let alone, absolutely, you're not supposed to gamble on your own sport. And we don't know if they gambled on whatever. We don't know if anyone gambled on Major League Baseball. We don't know that. But just the way that this whole thing has been handled and the way this whole, the whole storyline has unfolded, it's wild. It's wild, and it's going to be interesting to follow this and to see how Major League Baseball does, how transparent will Major League Baseball be considering this is Ohtani.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
A good friend of mine, you see her all over ESPN, one of the best in the business when it comes to assessing injuries and giving us the best information on athletes. Stefania, good morning. How are you? Thanks for joining us on this Sunday Funday.
Oh, good morning. Thanks for having me. It's so fun to talk to you again.
I know. It's been a minute. It's always good to talk to you, even outside of the NFL season. But I thought, you know, I know I reached out earlier in the week. I thought it'd be great to get you on as soon as the news broke with Mike Williams, of course, now coming to the Jets. There was high expectation that they would add more talent to this wide receiving core. But of course, we know he's coming off of injury and surgery. So I thought it'd be great, to have you give us some insight, your thoughts, and what your expectations are from Mike Williams this season here in New York.
Well, anytime you're coming off an ACL injury, there's a little bit of caution going into the season, right? There are a few things that you look at. Number one, was it an isolated ACL repair? Was it a multi-ligament injury? Everything that we know so far about Mike Williams is that it was relatively straightforward ACL repair. So that's good. You look at the timing of the injury. When did it happen? So he tore his ACL in week 3, fairly early in the season. That means that as of now, now that we're March 20-something, he's about 4.5 months out of surgery. And so his recovery timeline, he has a little bit more padding because he had that injury fairly early in the season. So he likes that as well. He told our colleague, Rich Cimini at ESPN, that he would be ready to go, or he anticipates being ready to go at the start of the season. But there's still a ways to go, right? And part of the evaluation process of readiness to start the season is how do you look during training camp? How are you doing ramping up with football activity specifically? So until we get there, we won't fully know. But everything so far is good news. And what I would say is that based on how the Jets managed Breece Hall last year, I was pretty impressed with how they brought him back. If they do something similar with Mike Williams, kind of give him a chance to get his dip his toe in the pool, so to speak, when it comes to competition and kind of amp up his work as he gets more confidence in the knee, because confidence is a big part of coming back from this. He could have a strong season. We are seeing players do better in their first year out post ACL than used to be the case.
Again, Stefania Bell joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. If you can elaborate a little bit more in regard to what the Jets were able to do with Breece Hall and how they handled him different from other teams that you felt was really the right way to go.
Well, I think the big thing is you hear players all the time say they're feeling good, that, the rehab has been successful, they're ready to go, and then it looks different with different guys. There's just no two ways around it because injuries behave differently in different athletes. But all along we heard that Breece Hall's recovery was smooth. And my one concern was that we didn't see him get any preseason action. And so if he came into the season and he looked good as he was out there on the field, would they then be like, okay, he looks great, and let's just have at it and unleash him for, basically without restriction? Because the temptation is there when you have an athlete like Breece and he's young and he's healthy and you don't see anything that looks like you should limit him. It's tempting to allow them to come back and have too much workload too soon, and that sets you up for the risk of other injuries. I would point to Dalvin Cook at the Minnesota Vikings when he came off his ACL reconstruction. He looked fantastic, and suddenly he became the workhorse of the team. And shortly thereafter, he had a bad hamstring injury, and he really didn't recover the rest of that season. Breece Hall was limited in his snap counts early on, played 17 snaps the first week, 15 snaps the next week. Then it was in the 20s for a couple of weeks, 30s, then went up into the 40s where he hovered, based on game flow, obviously, game against the Dolphins looked different. There were some different things. But for the most part, his workload progressed as he got comfortable being back in the game of football. And that's huge. Now, he also was utilized a little differently. Running backs have it hard because of the grinding and the pounding. He's used as a receiver a lot. But if you consider that he was coming off an ACL injury, and in their final game of the season, he posted 178 yards rushing, his legs were strong even when the season came to an end. So looking at all of those things together makes me feel good about how Mike Williams will be handled. You know, as a receiver, you can play more snaps and be, you know, be on the field, but not the primary workhorse, you know, not targeted a ton. And it really has to do with how confident he is. He's a big physical receiver, Mike Williams is, known for going up and making the contested catches. Sometimes getting the confidence to do that takes a bit when you're coming off this type of injury. So we'll get some clues in training camp, see how he looks. But there's no reason not to be optimistic right now.
Again, Stefania Bell joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. Tyrone Smith gets signed by the Jets as well to come in and protect Aaron Rodgers' blind side. He comes over from Dallas, but also injury prone as well. Your thoughts on Smith and that signing and what Jets fans can expect from him?
Well, you know, when he's on the field, I mean, I don't know that there's anyone better at the position. I don't know mm-hmm. that there's any better friend for Aaron Rodgers than when he's on the field. And look, we know about his injury history. And I think, you know, he's 33 years old. Like, that's not going away. But Dallas did some creative things to help him out. There were differences in what his practice structure was, you know, ways of helping him get through a season without, you know, overtaxing him per se. Last year was tough because it was a back issue that gave him a lot of problems, and you never know how those are going to go. But again, if you're looking at it like the bang for the buck that you get here and what you get when he's healthy, if they can work with him, and I don't think they're coming into this without recognizing that, you know, it would be foolish. It seems fairly obvious. So I think they'll set up a plan for him, and it is a bit of a roll of the dice because of his age and some of the injuries that he's had, but his skill set hasn't diminished. That's the thing that's so impressive. So it's really about maintenance and finding a program that will keep him on the field. And then you're getting, you know, what can I say, one of the best tackles in the league.
Absolutely. Again, two very good signings. Need to be concerned in regard to injury history, but and maybe I've buried the lead here, and that's Aaron Rodgers, right? Like, you and I really haven't spent a lot of time talking about his procedure and how advanced it is. You know, there's some reports out there that if the Jets would have made it to the postseason, that he would have been able to come back and play. Your thoughts on the procedure that Aaron Rodgers had and what your expectations are for him this season? Again, keep in mind, he will be turning 41.
Yes, well, you know, there's a lot to unpack there. But basically, the procedure that he has called a mid-substance speed bridge repair, and it's been around for about a decade. So it's not exactly the way I think it's been represented, that people think it was some new thing that no one else has had. That's just not the case. But what was really unique was that Dr. Neil Elitosh, who performed the surgery, worked with the rehab folks who really take care of all of his athletes. A number of Jets players have rehabbed there in Los Angeles. And they really created a unique program. By the way, as a physical therapist, this is how it should be done, right? You use the basic principles of science and tendon healing and looking at the repair that you had and try and progressively load the tendon while still protecting it. I mean, it's a very delicate balance of protecting a repair to make sure you don't disrupt the repair, but also providing the stimulus that's necessary for tendon healing. And they really worked aggressively and daily were evaluating what he could do to progress that program. We don't have enough time to go into all the kind of details of things they were doing, but Dr. Elitosh has told me, and I know he would tell anyone this, that the rehab that Aaron Rodgers was going through was critical to what his potential would have been. In other words, it wasn't just the surgery, it was the whole package. And the other advantage that he had was this injury was to his lead leg. So as a quarterback, when you're going to push off, it drives the ball. If it's your back leg, there's a lot more load on the Achilles there. With it being his front leg, that would have been an easier thing. I kind of put easier in air quotes because still an incredible comeback if he had made it last season, but not the same demand on the leg. But you need to be able to do a few things. Obviously, function as a quarterback, but escape pressure, and be confident that if you go down or get taken to the ground, you're not going to have an issue. There's nothing really to be concerned about coming into this fall because, look, if he was going to potentially be ready for last year, then we have to feel good about having that many more months under his belt.
Yeah, I mean, listen, so thrilled to have you on today because there are a lot of health concerns heading into the season for the Jets. A lot of optimism, a lot of really good talent added in free agency. We'll see what the Jets do in the draft, but great insight. Let's turn our attention to what's going on with the Giants, right? And Daniel Jones. Everything I'm hearing is that he's advancing extremely well. He's there at the facility each and every day, and the Giants are expecting him to start regular season game one, let alone be ready for camp. Does that surprise you at all?
Not really. I think the true test, it'll be just like we were talking about how it was with Brees Hall and Mike Williams. And even though this is a different position, with everybody coming off ACL, I don't care what position you play, you can be moving through all the benchmarks, at perfectly on time. But the biggest challenge comes when you have to get back to doing your sport. You have to get back to the functional activities that mimic your sport and then get back into competition. Now, Daniel Jones was a non-contact injury. He's playing at Allegiant. The Raiders was on grass, just kind of went down in a heap, if you remember that, as ACL injuries often occur. But I'll tell you a story. I talked with Carson Palmer once after he had had his second ACL injury. And I was asking him about the apprehension he had going back. And he reminded me that when he had his first ACL tear, he had it in the pocket, a collapsed pocket. And I don't know if you remember this. You have to go in the Wayback Machine to Carson Palmer's first knee injury, but it was horrific. It disrupted everything in his knee, just a terrible, devastating injury. And he told me that he would see like swarms of color when he was trying to get back from that. Like it was very hard for him to get over that apprehension in a collapsing pocket. When he tore it the second time, he had a re-tear in the same knee. He said he was just walking back to the huddle when he felt his knee give after he had stepped up in the pocket. He wasn't worried about it because it didn't happen the same way. He didn't have the same fear. So even one player with two different mechanisms of injury, same injury, very different experience coming back. So it'll be interesting to see for Daniel Jones because he does rely on his legs so much. Mobility is so important to him. Does he have any apprehension because it could just be a plant and cut move that makes him a little bit nervous? Will we see his running style look any different? These things do get better as you get more exposure, you get on the field, you get more practice in. And I'm not surprised at all by everything we're hearing about his work ethic. That's who he is. But that adjustment and that confidence building in the leg, that's what remains to be seen. And does it impact his game? We won't know it till we see it.
Stefania, great stuff as always. Such great insight. And so appreciate you joining us here on this Sunday. Thank you, my friend. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon.
It's my pleasure. Have a great day.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7. ESPN.
Let's go to Sue B, calling in from Midtown. Talked about Ohtani a segment before Stefania Bell. So, Sue B, I know you've been holding on. Welcome in.
Hey, Anita. Shohei Ohtani has zero blame in all of this. And let's stop with the narrative that $4.5 million is a lot of money for him. It's not. It's his New Balance deal.
Okay, time out. And I don't hang up. I want to have this conversation. I'm not saying that he's to blame. I didn't say that he's to blame. I didn't put blame on anyone.
He's the Mona Lisa of baseball. He's untouchable, and he should be untouchable. This is not Pete Rose at 40 years old purposely doing something. He's a baseball robot. He's been in baseball since 19 years old. He has not taken a business class or even a government ethics class of gambling. He's helped a friend who has turned out to be a fraud because he didn't even go to college for translation. And he trusted someone. This is baseball, Major League Baseball, Rob Manfred's fault for not giving him a translator coming out to America to begin with, because he thought that he could just trust anyone who is a baseball translator coming to him to come to a new country. Ohtani has no American citizenship other than coming to here to play baseball. So he has zero blame in all this. For him,
I understand that. Subi, here's the thing, and appreciate the phone call, understand the passion, but we don't know the facts. I'm not sitting here accusing him of anything. We need to see how this plays out. You know, with all due respect, my friend, you need to do the same. You don't know what his involvement was or not. We don't know. You know, his interpreter came out, gave ESPN a 90-minute interview where at that point in time, he said that him and Ohtani sat down and wired money to his bookie, a total of $4.5 million. So, you know, now he's walking that back because he's been told now not to talk. So, again, I'm not accusing Ohtani of anything. I'm sharing the timeline and the facts in regard to what's happened. And, you know, my experience is where there's smoke, there's fire. Something does not align here. Something does not align. Here's another thing. 4 hours before this interpreter gets fired by the Dodgers, him and Ohtani are sitting in the dugout, chumming it up, laughing, hanging out, having a good time. If somebody had stolen $4.5 million from you, do you think that you're sitting there chumming it up 4 hours before game time? Again, just the optics here do not look good. There's a lot of question marks here.